The following is a production of Tony Broom Ministries.
Welcome you to the Zoom Broom Room, Tony Broom Ministries, teaching from God's Word. And we are going to have our session this time from Galatians chapter 5. And our topic is free in Christ. The scripture tells us that we're free in Him. If the Son, therefore, will make you free, you shall be free indeed. And He gives you a deed with it. We live in love and freedom by Christ's Spirit in us. The Spirit of God has made us free. And if He makes us free, we are free indeed, and we are not to turn again to bondage. I was thinking of animals who are kept in a confinement. And when they're kept in a confinement, they have an electrical fence. It may be a fence that has electric wiring near it. It may be a fence that has a track under the ground. We were out visiting this place one time, Pop, myself, and he was there to bid a job, paint contract job. And when we walked on the property, he said, "Do you know that you just walked across a fence?" And I said, "No, I didn't feel any fence." He said, "Well, you don't see one either, but there's a track under the ground that keeps the pets and the livestock and everything inside here. If they go across this track, they will be electrocuted, shocked. So they have to be on this track or place where they can be inside the fence. You have freedom. As long as they're in the fence, they have freedom. And when you think you want to get outside of the fence, you may think that you will have freedom, but you don't. And that's the way it is with us. Two little chihuahuas inside the fence and a great big bulldog on the outside. And these little chihuahuas are, I want out. The big bulldog says, "Yeah, I want you to get out too." So a lot of times we think we want out, but we really don't want out. And it's best for us if we stay in the fence. Our golden text is Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Liberty is something that you can stand in. You can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And the last part of the verse says, "Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The yoke of bondage is something you can be free from, but it's also something you can be entangled again in. And the scripture tells us, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Paul was talking to the Galatians in the previous chapter, and he was telling them that you observe days and months and times and years. You're in bondage to all these man-made things and man-made religion. And he said, "I'm afraid of you. I am afraid that I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." And now he encourages us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We're talking about this liberty, and it happens to be in the time when in our nation we've never seen a time like this, when so many people think they're in bondage. They say you have to stay at home, you have to wear a mask, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to wash your hands, you have to have social distancing, you have to stay apart from a lot of people. Because of this pandemic, this virus that has gone all across the world, and we've never seen anything like this. And so we say that, "Well, I'm not in freedom." Well, yes, you are. You can put a person who belongs to Christ in a jail cell. They may not be free to walk around, but they're free, because our freedom doesn't come because of physical limitations. Our freedom comes in Jesus Christ. He makes us free. And we live and we walk in Him, and He gives us our freedom. The yoke of bondage will hinder your freedom, if not severely damage it. In the Old Testament, over and over and over again, God tells the children of Israel, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Do not go back into Egypt. Do not seek their prosperity. Do not seek to go back in slavery and bondage again." Well, he tells Israel, do not be entangled with that Egyptian bondage again. Don't go there. And so we're to guard our freedom. Jude tells us that we are to contend for the faith. We are to contend for it. So we're in this time now in our nation where we're physically have to be limited, but we have freedom. And there's a fight going on right now that some people, we already talked about it a little bit this morning, that they are raising the issue of worship, and they're raising the issue of whether churches should be given the same freedom as these other organizations and businesses where they could have the opportunity to worship and they could come together just like other organizations and other businesses. So the people on the side of the Constitution and religious freedom, their issue is that they are guarding their freedom. And those on the other side, their issue is, yeah, well, we like our freedom too, but we want to be sane. We want to practice safety. And so we can see it both ways. It's like the guy in the business meeting who said, I see it both ways, and I'm in the majority. So we're to guard our freedom. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do not allow that yoke of bondage to get around your neck again. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, he didn't say if you are circumcised. He said if you be circumcised. That is, if a person has already been circumcised, whether it be after birth according to the Jewish law, or whether it be for sanitary reasons or whatever that they do now, he's not talking about that. He said, if you be circumcised, in other words, if you profess faith in Christ, and then somebody comes along and makes you doubt and say, well, if you really love Jesus, you need to be circumcised. If you really love the Lord, you need to go to our church. If you really love the Lord, you need to be baptized in our pool. And so there's all these conditions that were being put on to their salvation. And Paul said, this is not right. If you are circumcised to try to get God's favor and to try to gain some kind of special place, he said, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every one that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. If you say, well, I want to really love the Lord, so if I need to be circumcised, I guess that's what I'll do. If I need to go to this certain church, I guess that's what I'll do. Paul said, if you go under this one legalistic thing, you're bound by the whole law. And we've already discovered that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And Paul says, I want you to know, if you do this, you're bound to keep the whole law. And some Christians do the same thing with Sabbath. I want to keep the Sabbath. This is the Lord's day. This is Sunday. Well, what they don't realize is you've already missed it by one day. The Sabbath is on Saturday. So when you got out and you cut your grass, whatever you did yesterday on Saturday, that was really, technically in the Old Testament, that was the Lord's day. That was the Sabbath. So you've already missed it. In the Christian, we call it the Sabbath. It's not a Sabbath, but the Christian day is the first day of the week. And that's the day that we set aside to worship God, the first day of the week. But to try to put that as a Sabbath, you say, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that's what God said. But if you try to do that as a legalistic thing, you're binding yourself by the whole law. Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And people talk about falling from grace. Well, you can. It's possible to fall from grace. But what he's talking about here is either got to be by the law or by grace. You can't have it both ways. It's either by works or by faith. It's either by law or by grace. Now, faith produces works, but you don't have faith by works. Your faith will produce works, and faith without works is dead. But it's got to be either by faith or by works, by grace or by law. Can't be both ways. It's got to be one way or the other. If you're justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If you're justified by grace, it does not require the works of the law. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. And this is how we make it in the Christian life. By the precious, blessed, Holy Spirit of God. That's the only way we can make it as a Christian. We wait for this hope. The Spirit, by the Spirit, we wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. It all has to do with faith that works by love. And that's what it's all about. Faith and love go together. You have faith in Jesus Christ, you love God. You love God, you have faith in Christ, and you love your fellow man. So this is the first part of our printed text, if you happen to have your quarterly. And he goes on to talk about them and encourages them. You did run well. You were doing good. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Who is he? And what are they that comes along and hinders you that you would not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. In other words, this didn't happen because of Christ. This is not the Lord's doings. This is not the Lord's dealings. This didn't happen to you because of Christ. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You put leaven in there and it will make the whole lump leaven. And you put a little bit of something into something and it will make that whole something the whole something. I mean, it will turn it that way. Just one rotten apple will rotten the whole basket if you're not careful. Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And so God says here, through this blessed apostle, that I've got confidence in you. I've got confidence that you will be no otherwise minded. You will be strong in the Lord. He who troubles you will bear his judgment. Whosoever he be, it doesn't matter who he is. When you stand with the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you're standing for the truth. But when you speak against the truth, and you can do it in ignorance and not know, but if you knowingly, blatantly speak against the truth, then it doesn't matter who you are. You're treading and standing on dangerous ground. And Paul said, whosoever he be, whosoever it is, it doesn't matter. I want you to know that God will take care of him. God will deal with him. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer for this persecution? If I am preaching the works of the law, circumcision and keeping the law, then I wouldn't be persecuted. What's all this persecution about? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. When you preach the cross of Jesus Christ and you stand on God's word, then you are out to be persecuted. In fact, the scripture tells us that all who live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. And that's a strong language, I know, but that's what he says. I want them to be cut off that trouble you, because it's so important that you stand fast in the liberty that God and Christ has made you free in. Guard your liberty. And you're free to serve in love. If we don't stand in freedom and liberty, we're not free to serve in love. When you think of liberty, you can think of the civil liberties that we have. So wonderful and precious that they are, and patriotic. And we think about the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we can see that those things can be taken away so easily if we're not minded to continue in our civil freedom. And it can be taken away by laws that are actually made to destroy and undermine and erode our freedom. It can also be taken away by other things and religions, these false gods that are brought in. You bring all these cultures into America and these people that don't have the same values that we have. Many of us in America are immigrants and have come. In fact, the colonies, the colonists, they came originally over here from England and other parts of the world. They came to seek freedom from persecution and religious persecution and bondage, they came to America to find a better way. And that's the way that many people come, to better themselves and try to find a better life. There's nothing wrong with that. But you've got to develop. When they came here, they developed. They had in their heart to worship God and not know Allah God and Buddha God and all these other gods. They came to worship the true and living God. And that's what freedom is. Freedom is not freedom to do what you want to and serve whichever God you want to. And you do have that freedom. But there's so much evil in that. There's bondage in that. If you serve a false God, you might think you're free. You're free to do it, but it's not freedom. That's bondage. That's not liberty. Free to serve in love. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You can't say, well, I've been called to liberty. Christ has made me free. I can do what I want to. Yes, you can, but you have to stay in the fence. You have to stay on the other side of that track. You have to stay in the place where he can make you free. By love, serve one another. We cannot go beyond the bounds and boundaries of love. We cannot go beyond the boundaries of God's love and God's word. We have to stay within the confines of God's word. Just think what the church and the world would be had we all stayed in the apostolic doctrine. That they, as Acts chapter 2 said, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, prayer and fellowship and breaking of bread, and continuing to spread the gospel, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were being saved daily. And we do well to hear somebody being saved every once in a while. That's not the way it ought to be, because we ought to be relishing in this liberty and freedom of ours and serving God and serving each other in love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You want to fulfill the law and do what's right? You love your neighbor like you love yourself. And that's what Jesus said. What's the great commandment? Someone asked him. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Just like the Old Testament said, Shema Yisrael, and it goes on to tell them to love God. They knew it very well. And he said, the second commandment is just like the first. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. And this fulfills the law. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. I was on a Zoom meeting recently with the bishop, and they were talking to the worship leaders and ministers, and we were there listening to the bishop. And one of the comments he made was that the church problems had gone down lately. And he said the reason that the church confusion and problems had gone down lately is simply for the fact that people are not able to be together and meet together. So naturally you have less church discipline to deal with than you would have to have otherwise. And so even in this, sometimes, at least in that regard, all things work together for the good, those who love God. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. So walk in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit and after the flesh at the same time. You have to be one or the other, just like law or grace, faith and works, the same way here. We either walk and live after the flesh, or we walk and live in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. The Spirit and the flesh are opposites. They are opposing each other. They are going against one another. The flesh tries to draw you to do your own thing, to do the thing of the evil one, and the Spirit tries to draw us to do what God wants us to do, to worship God and to love God and to serve God. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. You can see the works of the flesh all around you. There are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, unusual sexual desire, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance is in a state of disagreement or quarreling. You have all these quarrelings and fussing and demonstrations and riots and God says we don't live that way. Don't be like that. Emulations. Emulations means imitations. You're imitating somebody, whereas you can have the real thing. Even the Coke commercial said there's nothing like the real thing, baby. And we don't have to imitate. These preachers, they imitate these preachers on TV and try to be like that. And they bring it into our churches. And they get up on stage and try to act like people on TV. Your godly saints in the church, they're not up there to see you and hear you put on a show. They are there, and whether it be in a Zoom conference like we have to have now, or whether it be in an actual church building, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. They are there not to see a show and a performance. They are there to hear the Word of God and to worship God and the singing. We're not there to be entertained. We're there to worship God. And there's nothing wrong with good Christian entertainment. But that's not why the church gets together. They are together to worship God. You don't have to have these imitations. Wrath. Wrath is anger boiled over. Strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, rambling around, never being settled down, such like. There's 17 works of the flesh that he talks about here, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what some preachers need to hear, and that's what some church folks need to hear, and the world, the sinner, needs to hear today, that if you're involved in these things, and this is your lifestyle, and this is the pattern of life that you live, that you're involved in all these things he's talking about here, he doesn't just say, well, you're just having a hard time, you're just being a little stressed out. That's what these talk shows and TV shows, well, you're just stressed. You're just emotionally disgruntled right now. You're just having a hard time. Somebody stole your French fries at McDonald's when you're 6 years old. You're just, third grade teacher didn't speak to you. Something happened in your childhood. You just reach, go back in there far enough. You'll finally find it. That's not what God says. God said, if you're involved in these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven doing these things. That's what it really means. You cannot go to heaven if you're involved in these lifestyles right here. And so that's the work of the flesh. We are to live in love and serve one another by love. That's freedom. Live in the Spirit. Verses 22 to 26, the fruit of the Spirit. And this is absolutely opposite of all those works of the flesh that we just talked about. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There is a law against all these other works of the flesh that you talked about earlier. But there's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. There's 9 of these different fruit of the Spirit. And there's no law against any one of them or all of them together. There's no law against love. Love supports the law. Love fulfills the law. There's no law against joy and peace and long-suffering. He gives you the ability to put up with stuff that you could not put up with before. There's no law against that. There's no law against peace and meekness and gentleness and faith, temperance, self-control. We need that in our land today. There's no law against it. That's the fruit of the Spirit. There are some people who may have these tendencies more natural than others, but actually you have to have the Holy Spirit to have these fruit of the Spirit. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now it happens at salvation, but it's even more seen and stipulated and focused on in sanctification. That's what he's talking about. Sanctify. He sanctifies you and your heart, gives you a holy heart, breaks the power of sin in your life. That definite work of sanctification that we believe in, and the Bible teaches it. That's why we believe it, because the Bible teaches it. And that's where your freedom is. You have freedom in Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're born again. You became a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And then when he sanctifies you, that nature is dealt with, where you don't have to live in that constant struggle all the time, every day, And one day you're in the spirit, you want to please God, you want to do what's right. The next day you're in the flesh and pulling against you, and it's a constant struggle back and forth like a tug of war rope. And God does not want you to live that way, and you don't have to live that way. If we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit and produce these fruit of the spirit in our life. And what a joy it is. We can have joy in the midst of pandemic, in the midst of pandemonium. We can still have joy in the Lord. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, looking out for yourself. It's all about me. Provoking one another, envying one another. And let us seek to have love, whereby we can lift each other up and bless each other. Look out for each other, not for ourselves. We need the presence of God to touch our nation now and to touch the churches. You don't have to be together in a building. We want to be, and by the grace of God, we shall be. But you don't have to be in that way for God to touch you. God can touch you wherever you are, because the church is not the building. The church is God's people all over the world, whether it be by Facebook Live, whether it be by YouTube or Zoom conference or whatever it is. God can touch you right there where you are, and He can make a difference in your life right there where you are. Father, I pray today that You would be glorified in our midst, and I pray that Your people would be blessed and lifted up. We thank You, Jesus, for loving us. We thank You for this word, that we can be free in Christ, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank You, Lord, for loving us. We thank You for taking us and setting us free. Most of all, we're free from sin. Thank God we are not in bondage of sin. Sin's bondage is a whole lot worse than Egyptian bondage. And we thank You, Lord, that we are free from sin. And our sins are gone. Our sins are forgiven. And we thank You, Lord, for loving us so much that You're willing to come to condescend to men of low degree and to forgive us of our sin. And now we stand forgiven, justified freely by His grace. And I pray that many would come to that realization. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.